Chapter 24. For two long, hard months, Aaron Lake and Governor Terry had gone head to head, toe to toe, coast to coast, in 26 states with almost 25 million votes cast. They'd pushed themselves with 18-hour days, brutal schedules, relentless travel, the typical madness of a presidential race. Yet they'd worked just as hard to avoid a face-to-face debate. Terry didn't want one in the early primaries because he was the front runner. He had the organization, the cash, the favorable polls. Why legitimize the opposition? Lake didn't want one because he was a newcomer to the national scene, a novice at high-stakes campaigning. And besides, it was much easier to hide behind a script and a friendly camera and make ads whenever needed. The risks of a live debate were simply too high. Teddy didn't like the thought of one either. But campaigns change. Frontrunners fade. Small issues become big ones. The press can create a crisis simply out of boredom. Terry decided he needed a debate because he was broke and losing one primary after another.
"Aaron Lake is trying to buy this election," he said over and over, "and I want to confront him, man to man."
It sounded good. And the press had beaten it to death.
"He's running from a debate,"
Terry declared, and the pack liked that, too.
"The governor's been dodging a debate since Michigan," was Lake's standard response. And so for 3 weeks they played the "he's running from me" game until their people quietly worked out the details. Lake was reluctant, but he also needed a forum. Though he was winning week after week, he was rolling over an opponent who'd been fading for a long time. His polls and Deepak's polls showed a great deal of voter interest in him, but mainly because he was new and handsome and seemingly electable. Unknown to outsiders, the polls also showed some very soft areas. The first was on the question of Lake's single-issue campaign. Defense spending can excite the voters for only so long, and there was great concern in the polls about where Lake stood on other issues. Second, Lake was still 5 points behind the vice president in their hypothetical November matchup. The voters were tired of the vice president, but at least they knew who he was. Lake remained a mystery to many. Also, the two would debate several times prior to November. Lake, who had the nomination in hand, needed the experience.
Terry didn't help matters with his constant query,
"Who is Aaron Lake?"
With some of his few remaining funds, he authorized the printing of bumper stickers with the now famous question, "Who is Aaron Lake?" It was a question Teddy asked himself almost every hour, but for a different reason. The setting of the debate was in Pennsylvania, at a small Lutheran college with a cozy auditorium. Good acoustics and light, a controllable crowd. Even the smallest details were haggled over by the two camps, but because both sides now needed a debate, agreements were eventually reached. The precise format had nearly caused fistfights, but once ironed out, it gave everybody something. The media got three reporters on the stage to ask direct questions during one segment. The spectators got 20 minutes to ask about anything with nothing screened. Terry, a lawyer, wanted 5 minutes for opening remarks and a 10-minute closing statement. Lake wanted 30 minutes of one-on-one debate with Terry, no holds barred, no one to referee, just the two of them slugging it out without rules. This had terrified the Terry camp and had almost broken the deal. The moderator was a local public radio figure, and when he said,
"Good evening, and welcome to the first and only debate between Governor Wendell Terry and Congressman Aaron Lake,"
an estimated 18 million people were watching. Terry wore a navy suit his wife had selected, with the standard blue shirt and the standard red and blue tie. Lake wore a dashing light brown suit, a white shirt with a spread collar, and a tie of red and maroon and half a dozen other colors. The entire ensemble had been put together by a fashion consultant and was designed to complement the colors of the set. Lake's hair had received a tinting. His teeth had been bleached.
He'd spent 4 hours in a tanning bed. He looked thin and fresh and anxious to be on stage. Governor Terry was himself a handsome man. Though he was only 4 years older than Lake, the campaign was taking a heavy toll. His eyes were tired and red. He'd gained a few pounds, especially in his face. When he began his opening remarks, beads of sweat popped up along his forehead and glistened in the lights. Conventional wisdom held that Terry had more to lose because he'd already lost so much. Early in January, he'd been declared by prophets as prescient as Time magazine to have the nomination within his grasp. He'd been running for 3 years. His campaign was built on grassroots support and shoe leather. Every precinct captain and poll worker in Iowa and New Hampshire had drunk coffee with him. His organization was impeccable. Then came Lake, with his slick ads and single-issue magic. Terry badly needed either a stunning performance by himself or a major gaffe by Lake. He got neither. By a flip of the coin, he was chosen to go first.